This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with A Fool Multiplies Words, A Bird of the Air, Bread Upon the Waters, Pleasant to See the Sun, and Remember Your Creator. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise to the Lord.
Glory and mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through the resurrection of your Son, you have secured peace for our troubled consciences. Grant us this peace evermore, that trusting in the merit of your Son, we may come at last to the perfect peace of heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Tuesday after the resurrection of our Lord is from Daniel chapter 3. At that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other outer garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies, rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see me. For a spirit is not in flesh and bone, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. While he still disbelieved for joy and remarkable, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of pork fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The room is still heavy with grief. The windows are shut, the doors are locked, the air is thick with confusion. Just days ago, they had watched Jesus breathe his last, the sound of nails, the sky going dark, the silence of a sealed tomb. And now they're hearing reports. Women declaring that the tomb is empty, Peter saying the same, two disciples claiming he walked with them on the road to Emmaus and broke bread at their table. And they're trying to hold all of this together, grief and hope, fear and joy, trying to make sense of what does not. And that's when it happens. Jesus himself stands among them alive, declaring peace to you. He doesn't wait for them to get it all sorted out. He doesn't wait for their faith to be strong enough to believe. He steps right into the middle, right into their confusion, their anxiety, their uncertainty. And he doesn't knock. He doesn't call ahead. He just shows up. And the first thing he speaks is peace. That room is a hauntingly familiar place. We know people who live there in a room such as that. I serve people who are stuck in this middle right now, huddled behind locked doors, trembling and uncertain. A woman whose grandson was shot and killed. They don't know why it happened. They haven't even found the person who did it. Her grief is raw. Her questions have no answers. She comes to church and she sits in the pews with eyes that have seen too much, everything but justice. A man whose wife is battling cancer. She's starting to forget things now, too. Some days she knows him, some days it's a bit harder. He doesn't know what tomorrow will bring for her, for him, for the life that they have built together. He's living in the hallway between for better or worse, and how long, O Lord? Our dearly loved woman, newly declared legally blind, her husband's deployed overseas. And she has a daughter who depends on her, and she is scared. She can barely see what is in front of her, let alone what is coming next in her life. Her world is growing dark. These and so many more sit in the quiet with whispers of some kind of hope, but unsure of what to believe. And you know, I bet if we had time to go pew by pew in this space, we'd find that you know the middle well, too. It is a messy place. It's a dark place, riddled with doubt and uncertainty. Many of you are students. Many of you have given up a lot of certainty to serve the Lord's church. You moved yourself, your families, to Fort Wayne, of all places. Some of you are just beginning in this process and just beginning to find your footing. Others are almost there at the finish line. And I know call day's coming. There might even be a pit in your stomach. You wonder where you'll be sent. Will your wife be okay? Will your kids adjust? Will you be enough for God's people? Your professors, carrying the load of classes, advising, mentoring, publishing, but also carrying your own quiet burdens, aging parents, children in crisis, your own health scares, your own doubts. You are shepherds and scholars, but also sheep who need the great shepherd. And the world doesn't pause for seminary life. Life still happens in the middle of doctrine. Death still stings, even when you can recite the resurrection from memory. And then Jesus shows up. Despite the doors being locked, regardless of the weight of your circumstances, our resurrected Savior arrives. Peace to you. And this is what Easter actually looks like. Not bright lilies and white pyramids and trumpet blasts, although all those things are wonderful. But a confused group, huddled in a locked room, trying to figure out what to do next. And into that room, into all they might feel, our Lord shows up, giving peace and presence and even purpose. Peace to you. That's what he says. Not here's how to find peace or here are five steps to inner peace. No, it's not a strategy. It's a declaration, a word from God that does what it says. Peace to you. It's a gift from him, from the one who still bears the scars but stands alive. He doesn't erase the suffering, he carries it in his body, but he has conquered it. And those scars, they're the receipt, paid in full. Your sin atoned for, death defeated, hell disarmed, peace to you. He gives peace and he gives his presence. As he stands among them, he's not a ghost, he's not a theory, he's not a myth. Touch me and see. Resurrected, embodied, showing up despite locked doors and uncertainty, and he is with you too. Right now, in this place, in word and water and bread and wine. He's not an idea. He is present physically for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And he still speaks peace. He still gives himself to be touched and seen and received. And then he gives purpose. You are witnesses of these things. You're not experts. You're not polished professionals. You are witnesses, people who've seen the risen one show up in the middle of everything. And he doesn't send them once they've got it figured out. He sends them while they're still stunned, still reeling, still trying to wrap their heads around all that has just happened. And he sends you too. He sends you into congregations and communities. He sends you to dining room tables and hospital beds and into funeral homes, filled with people in their own locked rooms, people who have buried children, people whose marriages are barely holding on, people whose past won't let go and whose future feels like a cliff, people who don't believe, even know if they believe anymore. And you know, the temptation will be when you're in those situations just to give them answers, systems, categories, solutions. But what they really need is Jesus to show up. And he will, through you. And it's not because you're brilliant or bold, not because you have perfect peace yourself. Because you have and know the one who speaks it, the one who is peace embodied. Now, this is not the first time God has stepped into the middle. We just heard in the fiery furnace, three men thrown in, but Nebuchadnezzar sees four. And the fourth is like the son of the gods. He doesn't pull them out right away. He steps in, into the fire, into the suffering, into the death. That's who our God is. He shows up in that middle. He did it then, and he does it now. He stands in your locked room, your dark night, your furnace. He brings peace, presence, and purpose. So when you go, when you're sent, you go as a witness to these things. Not someone with all the answers, but someone who knows what it's like to be in the middle. And you point those, you serve those you love to the one who showed up for you. Jesus doesn't wait for us to get out of the middle. He comes into it. He speaks peace, he gives himself, and then he sends us out to say, you're not alone. You're not forgotten. You're not without hope. Christ is risen. And he stands in your midst, still bearing the scars, still speaking peace, still breathing out his spirit upon his people, still stepping into fiery furnace, still walking through locked doors, still sending wounded people as witnesses. So hear me say it as if Christ himself is saying it to you. Peace to you. Even here. Even now. Even in the middle. He is with you. And even in this, he is forming you to be his servant and witness. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Son Jesus Christ from the dead is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fill all your baptized people with the joy of his victory, and send us forth as witnesses to his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That are above, we entrust our prayers to God the Father through Christ our Passover, from death to life, in the life-giving Spirit, one God who reigns over all creation forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. And gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
Of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith, from now until life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.